Welcome to the North Central Baptist Church podcast. We hope you're challenged by the message from our pastor.
I want you to take your Bibles and open them to 2 Samuel chapter 20. We have been in this study now for quite a while, and we're coming to an end here. We've got about four more chapters after this chapter. Today, we're talking about the rebellion of Sheba. And by the way, I'd like to dismiss the children to children's church at this time, all right? I actually said the rebellion of Sheba and dismissed the children's church in the same sentence. I don't know how that came together. Could be the providence of God. Amen? I don't know. No. But look at these special children. Isn't this a blessing? Look at that. All these kids go into a special place where they get into the Word of God for them, and then once a month they're in here with us, and so it's a privilege for these elementary students to have their special children's church. But we have been studying in 2 Samuel, and you know, David is a great study in leadership. How did he deal with his own leaders? How did he handle the massive kingdom that he ruled? What kind of leaders succeeded in his kingdom, and what leaders failed in his kingdom? We find out a little more about all of these things as we study our passage today. David had just gained victory over one of his greatest adversaries. It was his own son Absalom. His general Joab killed his son by thrusting three spears in the hanging Absalom. Absalom was hanging in a tree by his hair. We studied this in last week's message. It caused history to pass him by, to pass Absalom by. But you would think that life would get a little easier for the king, but don't you believe it? God is constantly teaching us from these passages. I think today's passage is one of the best studies in leadership that we find in the Old Testament. Here's what we're dealing with today: disloyalty, outright rebellion, a slick murder while giving a greeting and a kiss. All of this is today. The amazing ability of the masses to follow all sorts of people. That's in today's passage. And then if that wasn't enough, also we're dealing with a man who was beheaded. All of this in today's passage. Tell me the Bible is not an interesting book. All of this in today's passage of Scripture. I've put it all under the title, The Rebellion of Sheba. I want you to find your place in 2 Samuel chapter 20, and you follow along in your copy of God's Word, and I will read from mine out loud. You follow along and I'll read. This is 2 Samuel chapter 20, verse 1. And there happened to be there a rebel whose name was Sheba, the son of Bichri, a Benjamite. And he blew a trumpet and he said, "We have no share in David, nor do we have inheritance in the son of Jesse. Every man to his tents, O Israel." So every man of Israel deserted David and followed Sheba, the son of Bichri. But the men of Judah, from the Jordan as far as Jerusalem, remained loyal to their king. Now David came to his house at Jerusalem, and the king took the 10 women, his concubines, whom he had left to keep the house, and he put them in seclusion and supported them, but did not go into them. So they were shut up to the day of their death, living in widowhood. Verse 4. And the king said to Amasa, "Assemble the men of Judah for me within 3 days and be present here yourself." So Amasa went to assemble the men of Judah. But he delayed longer than the set time which David had appointed him. And David said to Abishai, "Now Sheba the son of Bichri will do as more harm than Absalom. Take your Lord's servants and pursue him, lest he find for himself fortified cities and escape us." So Joab's men went with the Cherethites, the Pelethites, and all the mighty men went out after him. And they went out of Jerusalem to pursue Sheba, the son of Bichri. When they were at the large stone which is in Gibeon, Amasa came before them. Now Joab was dressed in battle armor, so it was a belt, with a sword fastened in its sheath at his hips. And as he was going forward, it fell out. Then Joab said to Amasa, "Are you in health, my brother?" And Joab took Amasa by the beard with his right hand to kiss him. But Amasa did not notice the sword that was in Job's hand, and he struck him with it in the stomach, and his entrails poured out onto the ground, and he did not strike him again. Thus he died. Then Joab and Abishai, his brother, pursued Sheba, the son of Bichri. Meanwhile, one of Joab's men stood near Amasa and said, "Whoever favors Joab and whoever is for David, follow Joab." But Amasa wallowed in his blood in the middle of the highway. And when the man saw all the people stood still, he moved Amasa from the highway to the field. And he threw a garment over him when he saw that everyone who came upon him halted. When he was removed from the highway, all the people went on after Joab to pursue Sheba, the son of Bichri. Now, we'll read a little farther as we get into the message here, but we find that Joab and Abishai took that army and they ended up defeating Sheba. We learn a lot about leadership when we study this passage of Scripture because there are a lot of personalities in here. You have Sheba, the man who led the rebellion. He was from the northern tribes. You have Joab, who was the former military ruler for David. You have Amasa, who had been Absalom's general. You have Abishai, who was another leader in David's army. And all of these different ones that are a part of the leadership of David. And so you learn a lot about David. You learn a lot about leadership in this passage of Scripture. There are three things I want to say about the rebellion of Sheba. The first thing is we see David's continued conflict. He tried to unite the nation by getting Amasa to be his general. Now, I want you to look back at 2 Samuel chapter 19, and I want you to find verse 11. 2 Samuel 19, just one chapter back, verse 11 through 13, it says, "So King David sent to Zadok and Abiathar the priest, saying, 'Speak to the elders of Judah, saying, why are you the last to bring the king back to his house, since the words of all Israel have come to the king, to his very house? You are my brethren, you are my bone and my flesh. Why then are you the last to bring back the king?'" Now, let me just hold your place there. Let me give you some background. David had just defeated Absalom. Actually, Joab had killed Absalom. The rebellion was over. And yet there was dissension in Israel about whether to bring David back to Jerusalem. So David writes to the priests, and he says to them, "Why are you so reluctant to bring the king back to Jerusalem?" In verse 13, look at this. "And say to Amasa," now, Amasa was Absalom's general. Amasa was fighting against David in this chapter and in previous chapters. So here's what David says. "And say to Amasa," this is 2 Samuel 19:13. "And say to Amasa, 'Are you not my bone and my flesh? God do so to me, and more also, if you are not commander of the army before me continually in place of Joab.' So he swayed the hearts of all the men of Judah, just as the heart of one man. So they sent this word to the king, 'Return, you and all your servants.'" Now go back to chapter 20. What happened here was that David was trying to rally support politically for his return. Joab had been his trusted general. Joab was a military man to the core. And Amasa was Absalom's military man. Well, when Absalom was killed, the men of Judah were reluctant to let David come back. And so David thought, well, if I make Amasa my general, those military people that rallied around Absalom, my enemy, and around Amasa, their general, would probably support me. And that's exactly what he did. And so David named Amasa his general. It's interesting that David did that, and it's interesting that in the midst of victory, he continued in conflict. Then we come to chapter 20, and we realize that that was just Judah. David had just handled Judah, because it says in verse 1 of our text today, and there happened to be there a rebel whose name was Sheba, the son of Bichri, a Benjaminite. Now, let me tell you about Sheba. Sheba was from the house of Benjamin. He was from the north. He was from the northern kingdom, and he was a Benjaminite. Now Saul, remember Saul way back, Saul had been king of Israel, and he was from the house of Benjamin. Many believe that Sheba was a holdout of a follower. He was a follower of Saul, and he never really liked David. He never really wanted David to be the king. And so all of a sudden, David, he handles Judah. He handles an invitation to come back to Jerusalem by making Amasa his general. But all of a sudden, he continues in conflict. Here's what Sheba does. The Benjaminite. And he blew a trumpet. And he said, "We have no share in David, nor do we have inheritance in the son of Jesse. Every man to his tents, O Israel." Look at verse 2. So every man of Israel deserted David and followed Sheba, the son of Bichri. But the men of Judah, from the Jordan as far as Jerusalem, remained loyal to their king. So here's David. He's won this battle against Absalom. He's trying to get back to Jerusalem to be the king over all of the kingdom of Israel. And Sheba rises up against him. He was a follower of Saul, and he rises up against him. It is very interesting to me when you study leadership that here was a man, Sheba, who all of a sudden blew a trumpet and said, "We have no part in David." And look at verse 2 of our text. I want you to see this. So every man of Israel deserted David. People are fickle. They can be fickle. I encourage you to live life by principle, rather than just following the loudest voice. Live life by principle, rather than just following the loudest voice. Now, chances are, Sheba was saying what was already being thought in the hearts of the people. The hearts of the people were saying, "Oh, listen, we had it great when we had Saul. I kind of wish we could go back to the days of old. I kind of wish we could do that." And all of a sudden, some rebel named Sheba was willing to stand up and put into words loudly what people were thinking. And guess what happened? They followed him. They followed this rebel. And ladies and gentlemen, it's interesting that David had come through a great victory and he continued in conflict. What does that say to you? You know what it says? It says to me, and I think it says to you, is that even when we experience victory, right around the corner may be more conflict. Right around the corner may be more challenge. Let me make something crystal clear if you didn't already know this. Just because you give your life to Jesus Christ does not mean you escape all trouble. Now, that would have been a good place for an amen. Because sometimes we are under the impression that if I give my life to the Lord, that all of my problems are going to go away. You remember in the Old Testament, the three Hebrew children that got thrown into the fiery furnace. There's a song about the fourth man in the fire. There's a scriptural text that talk about that they looked in there and it looked like they could see a likeness as of the Son of God, as of an angel of God. And many believe that Jesus Christ from the Old Testament went down into that fire with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego into the fire. Now the truth is, they had to go in the fire. They even told the king, they said, "Look, we're not going to bow to you. We're not going to bow to your gods." They said, "We don't have to have a committee meeting about it. We don't have to have a vote about it. We're not going to bow. And if our God chooses to deliver us, so be it. But if he doesn't, we're not going to bow. We're going to go in that fire." In that particular case, God delivered them from the fire and they were not singed. And so what I learned from that, and what I think we learned from this today, is Just because they were followers of God doesn't mean that they didn't have difficulty. So the first thing we see is David's continued conflict. Here's the second thing. David's hesitant general, Amasa. Now this guy is a study in leadership. I want you to look at verse 4. The Bible says, "And the king said to Amasa, 'Assemble the men of Judah for me within 3 days, and be present here yourself.'" Now let me tell you something about David. David was decisive. Can I say this to our young men here? Can I say this to all of us? Our world needs decisive leaders. Those that love God, those that want to make the decisions that God wants them to make. David was decisive. He said in this text of Scripture, he said, "Amasa, you're my general. I want you to assemble the army and meet me here in 3 days." David wanted to take Sheba quickly. Look at verse 6. Here's why. It says, "And David said to Abishai, 'Now Sheba, the son of Bichri, will do us more harm than Absalom. Take your Lord's servants and pursue him, lest he find for himself fortified cities and escape us.'" David wanted to take Sheba quickly. David wanted to deal with the rebellion quickly. Now, you remember from last week's message that Absalom didn't follow the correct advice to go after David quickly. You remember that in the story? I just bring that up to your memory from last week, that Absalom had an opportunity to go and be decisive and win the victory, but he didn't do it. Ahithophel was his counselor, and Ahithophel said, "You ought to go get David quickly," but Absalom didn't do it. He took the advice of another counselor, and because of that, Ahithophel ended up committing suicide, and Absalom lost his life, Absalom lost the battle, and David won by the sovereignty of God. But David was decisive, and David had a hesitant general. I have heard this story. I've probably told you this story, but it so illustrates it. General McClellan of the Union Army was one of Abraham Lincoln's generals, and he was very timid about battle. And he did not want to move in and decisively crush the enemy. And Lincoln didn't understand it. And one time Lincoln went to his house, and McClellan was at a wedding. And so Lincoln, the president, waited for General McClellan in the parlor. McClellan rode up in a buggy, came in the front door, went straight upstairs. Didn't even acknowledge the president. McClellan was a leader who loved being called the Little Napoleon. He loved titles. He loved the respect he garnered by being the commander-in-chief of the army. And so here was Lincoln in the parlor, the president of the United States coming to see his general, and up the stairs he goes. After 30 minutes, the president and his two advisors were there, and they said to the servant, they said, "Look," to the person there, said, "Go up and tell McClellan we're here." And so the person went upstairs and came down a few minutes later and said, "Excuse me, Mr. President, but I want you to know that General McClellan has retired for the evening." Well, Lincoln's two advisors were furious. They wanted him taken out on the spot, and Lincoln just led the way back to the White House, telling his men, said, "If McClellan would just be decisive, I would hold his horse for him, but he just won't be decisive." Leaders need to take responsibility and be decisive. If you are a father here and God has spoken to you about something you are to do on behalf of your children, do it. Do it. Don't wait for someone else to lead out for you. If God has spoken to your heart, if you are a Sunday school teacher in this church and God has spoken to your heart and burdened you about an assignment, do it. The world is too full of passive leaders, those with titles, but they will not act. This is Amasa. This is the general that David had. He was Absalom's general, and David thought, I'm going to help myself politically if I make him my general and let him take Joab's place. But Amasa was not decisive. He was actually disloyal. We have a book in our library called Character Sketches. And in that book, there's a definition of loyalty that says this: loyalty is adjusting my schedule to meet the needs of those I am serving. Loyalty, I'll say that again, is adjusting my schedule to meet the needs of those I am serving. Amasa would not garner the army in 3 days. So what ends up happening? Well, I want you to find in the scripture here, in verse number 5. So Amasa went to assemble the men of Judah. This is 2 Samuel 20, verse 5. So Amasa went to assemble the men of Judah, but he delayed longer than the set time which David had appointed him. He just didn't do it. That amazes me. A general with a king. The king says, get me the army here in 3 days. He didn't do it. Now listen to what the decisive King David did. And David said to Abishai. Now Abishai was another general, another leader, military leader, that was brothers with Joab. Now Joab is the guy, boy, his feelings are really hurt right now. Joab had been displaced by this Amasa guy who was indecisive, who would not follow through. Joab's brother was Abishai. So here's what happened. David says to Abishai, now Sheba, the son of Bichri, will do us more harm than Absalom. Take your Lord's servants and pursue him, lest he find for himself fortified cities and escape us. So Joab's men with the Cherethites and the Pelethites and all the mighty men went out after him. And they went out of Jerusalem to pursue Sheba, the son of Bichri. So here was Abishai, and he said, I want you to take the Lord's servants. This was the inner army. This was like taking a small group of like rangers, like Navy SEALs. He said, your group will be small, but I want you to go, and I want you to defeat Bichri, the Benjaminite. Now, on their way, guess what happens to Amasa, the reluctant, delaying general? He all of a sudden wakes up and realizes, man, I'm getting left behind. And that's what happens to passive leaders. They realize they're being left behind. And so look what happens in verse 8. And when they were at a large stone, which is in Gibeon, Amasa came before them. He's like running up. I'm here, guys, I'm here. He runs up. Now, Joab was dressed in battle armor. Now, you remember, Joab's the guy that was deposed by this guy. And on his armor was a belt with a sword fastened in its sheath at its hips. And as he was going forward, it fell out. Then Joab said to Amasa, are you in health, my brother? Now, this is a typical greeting for cordial men. How are you doing today? Amasa had no clue. He had no clue what was going on. And Joab took Amasa by the beard with his right hand. Now, first of all military action was normally done with the right hand. So the fact that you would reach up with your right hand and grab Amasa's beard was a gesture that would have been fully expected. And it was to reach up and to give him a kiss, you know, on the cheek or something, the way they would greet right there. He says, are you in health, my brother? And Joab took Amasa by the beard with his right hand to kiss him. But Amasa did not notice the sword that was in Joab's hand. It was in his left hand. And he struck him with it in the stomach. This would have been about a 7-8-inch dagger. He struck him with it in the stomach, and his entrails... don't ask me to explain that word. Poured out on the ground. All I know about that word entrails is that when I was in Scotland, I ate haggis. And when we asked the man what that was, he said, sheep entrails. That's what he said, okay? And the Bible says at the end of that verse there, in verse 10, it says, "And he did not strike him again. He just stabbed him the one time and he died. Then Joab and Abishai," those are brothers, "they pursued Sheba, the son of Bichri. Meanwhile, one of Joab's men stood near Amasa and said, 'Whoever favors Joab and whoever is for David, follow Joab.' But Amasa wallowed in his blood in the middle of the highway," right there in the street where they met. Here's this man dying. Now, Joab garnered followers after that call for commitment. The man stood up and said, "All who want to follow Joab and David, come now." Well, here was Amasa laying there in the street. And it says in verse 11, "Meanwhile, one of Joab's men stood near Amasa and said, 'Whoever favors Joab and whoever is for David, follow Joab.' But Amasa wallowed in his blood in the middle of the highway. And when the man saw that all the people stood still, he moved Amasa from the highway to the field, and he threw a garment over him. And when he saw that everyone who came upon him halted. When he was removed from the highway, all the people went on after Joab to pursue Sheba, the son of Bichri." Now, that's an interesting passage of Scripture right there. Here is this man who dies in the highway, and this man says, "Follow Joab and follow David." And they all stood there, just watched this man in the highway. So this one guy goes and gets him, puts him out here in the field off the highway, and says it again. And guess what they all do? They just follow Joab. You know, it's interesting when you think about decisive leadership. That's why the decisive leaders, we need to pray that God would give us godly decisive leaders, because many people just follow someone that will say, "Let's go." One of the lessons that I take from this is that loyalty is measured in getting the job done. Amasa simply did not do what the one he served asked him to do. He did not follow through. And because of it, Joab saw him as a traitor to David. Joab saw him as the one who had disposed him, and so he took his life. So you see David's reluctant and hesitant general, Amasa. Last thing, and we'll be done. You see David's victory. The people turn on a rebel. Let me just say this to you, ladies and gentlemen. When you rebel, those that are in the harness with you of that rebellion, when it becomes expedient for them, they will let you go. They'll turn on you every time. Look what happens in verse 14 through 22. Verse 14 says this, "And he went through all the tribes of Israel to Abel and Beth Micah and all the Berites. So they were gathered together and also went after Sheba. Then they came and besieged him in Abel of Beth Micah. And they cast up a siege mound against the city, and it stood by the rampart. And all the people who were with Joab battered the wall to throw it down." It's like a war movie you've seen where they get a big battering ram and they built a ramp up to the wall to sneak in. Verse 16. "Then a wise woman cried out from the city, 'Hear, hear! Please say to Joab, come nearby that I may speak with you.' When he had come near to her, the woman said, 'Are you Joab?' And he answered, 'I am.' And she said to him, 'Hear the words of your maidservant.' And he answered, 'I am listening.' So she spoke, saying, 'They used to talk in former times, saying, they shall surely seek guidance at Abel. And so they would end disputes. I am among the peaceable and faithful in Israel. You seek to destroy a city and a mother in Israel? Why would you swallow up the inheritance of the Lord?'" In other words, she's saying to Joab, "Why are you about to destroy this city? This is a key city in Israel. There's been a lot of young warriors that have come out of here, been birthed out of this city. Why are you going to destroy it?" Verse 20, "And Joab answered and said, 'Far be it from me, that I should swallow up or destroy? That is not so, but a man from the mountains of Ephraim, Sheba, the son of Bichri by name, has raised his hand against the king, against David. Deliver him only, and I will depart from the city. Now, previous, he had gone into this city, and nobody said anything about it. But that's about to change. So the woman said to Joab, "Watch, his head will be thrown to you over the wall." Now you tell me there's not drama in the Bible. Then the woman in her wisdom went to all the people, and they cut off the head of Sheba, the son of Bichri, and they threw it out to Joab. Then he blew a trumpet, and they withdrew from the city, every man to his tent. So Joab returned to the king at Jerusalem. David's victory. People will turn on a rebel. The wise woman comes to Joab. Let me say this. You learn this from this passage of Scripture as well. If the leader falls, the movement will fall too. If the leader falls, the movement will fall too. Make no mistake about it. When you rebel against God and you take people with you, they'll turn on you when it becomes expedient for them. So here are some lessons that I wrote down, and I'm going to conclude with these. Number one, don't think it strange that you may go from one battle to another. Number two, the highest priority should be given to laying down previous offenses, because taking up an offense may cost you your life. Sheba evidently had taken up an offense for Saul, and he never could follow God's man David. And because of that, he had taken up that offense. And do you know that his whole life was marked by that offense? Can I say this to you? I have noticed through these years people's entire lives marked by unforgiveness and marked by offenses. They cannot shake it. Every decision they make is based by looking through the lens of an offense. Sheba evidently could not follow David because he had taken up an offense for Saul. So the highest priority in your life and my life should be given to laying down previous offenses, because when we take them up, it may cost you your life. Number three, it is amazing how many followers there are in the world. They followed Sheba when he said, let's go against David. They followed Joab when Joab killed Amasa, and the other military leaders said, let's go after Joab. They followed him. Number four, it is important that one doesn't delay in dealing with disloyalty. Do not delay in dealing with disloyalty. And then the last thing is this. Your followers in disloyalty may turn on you whenever it is in their best interest. Your followers in disloyalty may turn on you when it is in their best interest. Let's bow our heads in prayer.
Thanks for letting this small part of North Central Baptist Church experience stream into your life. We hope you will visit us soon and become part of the family of North Central Baptist Church, reflecting Christ's light on Gainesville and the world.